Did you think when you immigrated over 30 years ago that you'd be returning home from New York as president of the GAA?
Absolutely not. It would have been the furthest thing from my mind. I left Ireland in 85 to do some study and postgraduate work at New York University. And it would never have entered the realm of my thoughts at all at that stage. And even later when I was involved in the New York GAA, the notion of becoming president of the GAA was just, it was inconceivable. But I mean, it has happened and now we're here and I'm really looking forward to taking up the role and following on from the great job that John Horne has done. And getting, you know, getting started on Monday morning, I suppose.
What were your emotions? Were you lonely leaving New York after such a time? I mean, you were a professor over there in a college in New Jersey. Or were you excited about the fact you have a new challenge for the next 3 years of your life?
Well, there was a mix of them. One was coming home in the first place and leaving the two lads in New York, Connor and Shane. Yet Barbara's here in Dublin with me, so there was a mixed emotions in leaving them and seeing Barbara again for the first time in a couple of weeks. I was driving home the other evening from the Bronx, and it suddenly dawned on me that I will not be making this drive again for at least another 3 years, or at least not on a consistent basis. So that was a little bit of a dose of reality for me. Mm. But excited is the overall mood, I would suggest, and looking forward to getting started on the job.
Now, before we go on and talk GAA for a second, when you got elected last year, COVID-19 broke out about 3 or 4 weeks later here in Ireland. What impact did your election success have in New York GAA? And were you able to celebrate at all?
We did. We managed to celebrate a little bit. The week after I got back, we had a big evening in with the Sligo Football Club, as because they are my club, the following weekend. And then the New York GAA threw a party for me as well. In that institution on McLean Avenue that I mentioned in my speech last year called Ned Devine's. So we were able to celebrate it. But then obviously the lockdown came, not only in Ireland, Marty, it came all over the world, obviously. And, you know, there hasn't, we in New York got a championship in this year, very, very well and very well done. And kudos to John Henchy and the New York board for doing it. But I mean, obviously the celebrations and my celebrations have been muted very, very much, you know.
Did you get a chance to get vaccinated before you came home? Because the Americans will be ahead of us, obviously.
I am very, very lucky in that I am vaccinated. Barbara registered us all in the public health system in New Jersey in January, and I got an invitation to go and get the first jab in early February. And then, yes, what day is today? Today is Saturday. I got the second jab Wednesday morning. So I'm vaccinated, and that evening I got on a flight to Dublin. And now I'm in 5 days isolation, and I'll come out of that next Tuesday.
You're taking over as president of the GAA at a most unique, bizarre time, Larry, and a very difficult time. They coped very well last year, but it is a challenge in 2021 as well.
It's an absolute challenge. It really is. I mean, the circumstances we find ourselves are unique. We're a sport organisation at the moment without a sport, in so much as we're not playing, with the exception of the lads and lassies down in Australia who are continuing to play. But it is bizarre, and we have to adhere to the public health authorities and what they're telling us. But hopefully we'll be back, you know, sooner rather than later, Marty, in some format, whether that be at the inter-county level or whether that be at the club level.
So what is your main objective as president? I mean, you're starting off today, but, you know, you have 3 years of a term in the most, as we just said, unique situations. But what would you hope to achieve?
Get us back on the field. Get us back on the field is the main objective. And then work from there. Get the clubs back up and running and get them alive and kicking again and playing competitive sport across the counties. So that the county boards then can generate some income, so then they can have some income that can fund bigger and better things in terms of the inter-county game, shall we say. But getting the clubs back up and operating in their communities is the main priority, and everything else will flow from that. I mean, our business model is predicated upon attendance. Mm. As soon as we have attendance back, we'll be able to generate some income. We'll be able to then distribute that income again back into the clubs so they can continue to grow and develop.
Does it matter for you which comes first, club or county?
No, it doesn't. I mean, look, we don't have any permission at the moment. Whatever permission we get, we'll use it and then we'll move on from there.
Is it your intention to meet the government as soon as possible? Because obviously John Horne and Croke Park officials had good relations with the government, but John and
Tom Ryan have very, very good relationships with the government. I'll take my advice from Tom at this stage. If there's a benefit to meeting the government, we would hope that that could happen.
Your background is a professor in business economics and management. The GAA is not in a good financial position, as we learned last week, with a deficit of something like 34.1 million. Do you think you can have an impact on that, a role to play how the GAA runs its financial affairs?
Well, as I said, our business model is predicated on attendance. We're not like a Manchester United or an NBA team, which can, you know, generate an awful lot of income from their media and sponsorships. We depend on game day income. So that's why I'm saying that the sooner we're back playing and that we have competitions going, that will generate the income from us. Perhaps we might look at that, but then that's not who we are. I mean, our television negotiations are going to open up next year, and most sport organisations around the world, if you look at them, would go straight to the bottom line and take whatever is best. That's not what we're all about. We have other considerations in terms of being a community association, a community organisation. So we will take what is ever is best for the GAA and look at that. But it's difficult to move away from the business model where you are a community organisation and where you are dependent on game day income, you know.
You mentioned television rights. Peter McKenna mentioned last week about Amazon. It's a possible broadcast partner for the GAA. What is your view from a GAA perspective of the broadcasting landscape as it stands with TG Car, Sky and RTE?
Well, it's an open competition for the rights. I mean, they will be put out to tender and then the tenders will be considered and go back to my point about us being a community association. It's not necessarily totally the bottom line that we will be guided upon. But an open market is critical. An open market is critical so that we can generate revenue from those rights. You don't want to be in a circumstance where there's a monopoly because we won't get the value then that's associated with our product. And I'm talking in business terms here, obviously, but I mean, that's the approach you kind of have to take to those negotiations. We're very much more than a product. We're a sport. We're a community organization. But that's the approach you have to take when it comes to media rights like that. But I'm all in favor of competition. I think the product will be better as a result of having competition in the marketplace. And ultimately, we will do better as well.
Now, in your speech today, you're critical of the keyboard warriors, the people who criticise the GAA on social media. Why did you highlight that?
I was struck by a comment that Bob Costas made, who was an NBC commentator, about the corrosive effect on civility of people in social media. And a lot of our officials, a lot of our players have suffered as a consequence of that, and not just in our sport. It's across society in general. So I thought I would highlight that and, you know, just put an emphasis on it so that we do treat each other with respect. I mean, that's one of the mantras of the institution. And emphasise that you know, we shouldn't be highly critical, overly critical. We certainly shouldn't be personally critical or personalising criticism of volunteers. And that's why I'm saying that.
Now, there are almost 40 motions down for discussion. There are some very interesting ones. You know, from a world perspective, having come from a similar background as yourself, the World GAA is an important development, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's the World GAA setting the boards that are around the world outside of Britain and Ireland giving them a statutory role, I suppose, giving them representation at Central Council, and given the growth of the GAA outside of Britain and Ireland in the last number of years, I think that's important. They do great work, as I say. They're the only units that are playing at the moment down in Australia. Mm. But that so that they can continue to evolve and grow and prosper. So I think giving them representation and giving them a link straight into the decision-making mechanism in Croke Park is important. And that's what the World GAA will do.
there are some very interesting motions. I know some are being put back to a special Congress in September, but cynical play is particularly a focus of a motion that's coming forward. I know Willie Barrett is speaking on it, and the hurling sin bin. Do you think that's an important development, that we are aware that cynical fouling is developing more and more? Is this a serious effort to cut that out?
Well, it is a serious effort to cut that out. I mean, I don't think there's a sport in the world, particularly at the elite level, where there's not at one level, maybe a little degree of cynicism at times. You know, the last desperate tackle. I'm not saying that they're going to do things cynically, but the last desperate tackle to prevent a score late in the game. But look, I mean, I think this rule has the potential to clean that up and eliminate it. And I think we'll have a better game as a result of it, you know.
I know that in certain quarters, the GAA has been criticised being a little bit behind when it comes to head injuries and concussion. But I know there was a motion that would kind of... I was speaking to Dick Clerken during the week, who's a member, I think he's chairman of that committee, where there's a motion coming forward about a temporary substitution that would allow for a head injury to be seriously and more closely examined.
Yeah, there is. And that's obviously critical to the safety of all our players. But, I mean, I'm not so sure that we've been behind, Marty. I think that's a wrong characterisation to make because typically we don't have that many injuries. I mean, you don't use your head in Gaelic in Gaelic games, or at least you shouldn't be using your head in Gaelic games. You know, rather like there's a lot of tackling, there's a lot of head collisions in rugby. You know, to a certain extent, you're using your head significantly in the game of soccer, for instance. So I wouldn't characterize as us being far behind, but we are aware of the dangers of injuries and of head injuries, and we have to put in place rules that will support our players. And if the substitution needs to take place, the substitution needs to take place. And there should be no ands, ifs, or buts. If a person's head is hit off, take him off no matter what he says. Because as you well know, players will want to stay on and stay on the end of the game and can do untold damage to themselves. But no, I mean, I think it's a very, very good idea to bring in this temporary substitution for the head injury.
I know there's a lot of talk, of course, of Dublin, for instance, going for 7 in a row in 2021. The championship revamp deferred till September. I presume that you were in favour of that. And will you be looking at that situation?
Yeah, we will. There's no doubt. I mean, there's the special Congress that's going to take place later in the year. We'll look at the championship structures, and there's a number of proposals that have been deferred from this Congress to that Congress simply because we want to be able to discuss them in a face-to-face manner in a room, and it was not appropriate to make such big decisions from a remote Congress. So we'll certainly be looking at that, and that'll be a vigorous discussion, I've no doubt, during the summer and the run-up to that Congress.
It must be very difficult to be inaugurated as president of the GAA sitting in an apartment in Dublin.
Well, I've never gone through it before, Marty, so I don't know.
Your medal?
I mean, I have the medal. I have the medal. Thank you very much. Yes, and the medal was delivered to me earlier in the week. It is a fabulous Celtic cross, gold Celtic cross with Oak Thron Cumann Luath Class Gael on it. And I suppose that was another little bit of reality when I said earlier on that we've moved away from the philosophical now. When the medal arrived, as Barbara, my lovely wife, said, there's no going back now, you know. So, yeah, it is. But I mean, look, it doesn't matter where it happens. I don't mind. I'm lucky enough to be coming in as Oak Thron Cumann Luath Class Gael, and very, very much looking forward to it, you know.
And just before I leave you go, have you any idea at all in terms of what will happen this year ahead? I mean, is there any indication? I know we're obviously in level 5 until at least April 5th, and there'll be no GAA action until then. Have you any idea at all since you arrived back in Ireland of what's happening behind the scenes?
There's not.
Right.
Nothing. No indication whatsoever as to what's happening behind the scenes at all.
Well, Larry McCarthy, we wish you the very best of luck in your next 3 years. And thank you so much on your inauguration day for joining us on Saturday Sport.
Thank you very much, Marty. And as I tell everybody, I hope to see you at a match somewhere sooner rather than later.
Oh, so do I. So do I.